gentlemen.
Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having a terrific Tuesday today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, you know, today in Florida, we've got these beautiful blue skies. It's like it was when I was back in my, like 10 years old back in the 60s. And it's absolutely stunning. It's about 65 degrees, clear blue skies, light sea breeze. This is why Florida has been called the Sunshine State in the past and not the Chemtrail State. And today is one of those days that my energy levels are way up. The barometric pressure is good. The skies are clear. So it's been absolutely wonderful. But you know what's going on, though? You know, the deep state's getting kind of rocked right now with these FISA documents. And, you know, these guys may be running for cover right now. So let's all believe together that these guys are going to stop spraying us for a bit. You know, a few weeks ago, Austin, I was talking about what was going on with the Rothschild banking cartel. And I actually quoted a Rothschild banker from the 20s and how he said that what the Rothschild bank did and how they controlled the planet was they controlled both sides of the narrative. In fact, he went as far as to say that the axis of the earth was tilted and run by the Rothschild Bank, took control of both sides, so they could shift humanity in any direction that they wanted to shift humanity. Now, yesterday, we went into detail on that particular topic, but I did not go into detail on this topic again. Now, what's interesting about that is we know the Council on Foreign Relations was a Rothschild product from around 1918, from the League of Nations. And that Council on Foreign Relations has been around now for 100 years, and they pretty much dictated American policy because they are run by the Zionists. They are run by this group that are the Rothschild banking cartel, and they basically tell Congress what to do. In fact, Hillary has all but said that they meet with the CFR on a regular basis, and they're basically given instructions on how to run the country. And, of course, we know that that's what they do. Trump has put more members of the CFR into his basically program into his administration than even Barack Obama did. So again, it's what the Rothschild banker said a few weeks ago on our show from the 1920s when I quoted him, is they're controlling both sides of the narrative to push it a certain direction. Now, what happened is these guys pushed the narrative too hard towards Hillary, towards the gay Kenyan, towards his transvestite wife. All of these things were pushing it too far, and they were getting too much blowback as far as what was going on globally, as far as it was going too fast, too hard, and there was too much pressure from the middle class, from the upper class, from the Americans that were loyal patriots. Now, what they're trying to do at this point is they're doing their best to allow all of us to die. Now, let me explain to you what I mean by that. I'm 62 years old. What did Oprah Winfrey say? Until all the old white guys are dead, there's not going to be anything as not having a racist country in the United States or something stupid like that, or one of her stupid quotes. Now, well, the thing about this is that that's what they want. Now, what they don't understand is you guys. They don't understand Austin. They don't understand Harrison or Hunter. And all of us who are patriotic who've said, you know what, how about we don't go silently into the night? How about we just don't walk down the dim lit hallway and go into obscurity? How about we say no? How about we're not going to allow you guys to do this? And that's when we prayed last year that Hillary Clinton, who was supposed to be president, would be fully exposed, and she was, and then, or 2 years ago now, and then Donald Trump, of course, came in and he won. Now, I know Trump's a pig. I got that, okay? I know he's a pig with women. I've got it. I'm not even trying to defend a guy. And I know he's got a lot of CFR guys in his administration, but what I will say is this. He is light years ahead of the witch of Benghazi, a Sabbatean witch. He is light years against better than the gay Kenyan and the transvestite wife. And at least we've got his beautiful wife, Melania, to look at for four, hopefully 8 years, and not have to deal with some kind of hag in the White House. Now, you say, well, that sounds like you're a male chauvinist. I'm not trying to be male chauvinist. I'm just stating a fact, okay? If I had to look at Hillary and Bill in the White House for 8 years, I just don't know if I could bear it. And quite frankly, all of our freedoms and speeches and stuff and our ability to say stuff would have probably been taken away. But they knew they were pushing us very close, Austin, to a full-blown civil war, and they knew they had to back out. And, of course, when the Podesta emails were released and all of the stuff started coming out, they had to do some backtracking really, really quick, which, by the way, think about this again. John Kerry went to Antarctica the day of the election. Now, who was he meeting with and what was going on in Antarctica? We've talked about that. Now WikiLeaks is exposing how the Council on Foreign Relations controls almost all of the mainstream media. This is an article from the Free Thought Project. It goes on to say, it is no secret for over the past four decades, mainstream media has been consolidated from dozens of competing companies to only six. Hundreds of channels, websites, news outlets, newspapers, and magazines, making up 90% of all media, is controlled by a very few people, giving the Americans the illusion of choice. That's why I prefaced everything today to talk about this article. While six companies controlling most everything the Western world consumes in regard to media may sound like a sinister arrangement, the Swiss Propaganda Research Center has released information that is even worse. The research was able to tie all of these medias to a single organization, the Council on Foreign Relations, which is run directly by the Rothschild banking cartel. Now, I find that fascinating. Now, Julian Assange released a bunch of information, and he said, for those who may be unaware, the CFR is a primary member of the Circle of Washington think tanks promoting endless war. That's how they maneuver us and twist us. As former Army Major Todd Pierce describes, this group acts as primary provocateurs, using psychological suggestiveness to create a false narrative of danger and from some foreign entity, with the objective being, here it goes, to create paranoia within the U.S. population that is under imminent threat of the attack or takeover. A senior member of the CFR and outspoken neocon warmonger, Robert Kagan, has even publicly proclaimed that the U.S. should create an empire. The narrative created by the CFR and its cohorts is picked up by their secondary communicators, also known as the mainstream media, who push it on the population with no analysis and no questioning. When you look at the chart from these groups, they reach this single organization is so vast and there's no mystery how these elite psychopaths guide Americans into accepting endless war at the expense of their mothers, fathers, sons, and daughters. Top journalists and executives from all major media companies are integrated into the CFR. This is all part of the CIA. As this chart below illustrates, the CFR has even more control in the mainstream media than even the nefarious Bilderberger Group and the Trilateral Commission. Why? Because this is directly controlled by the Rothschilds. As Richard Harwood, former managing editor of the Washington Post, wrote about on the Council of Foreign Relations, recognizing that its members most likely correspond to what one might call the ruling establishment of the United States, also known as the shadow government, I'm adding this. Harwood concluded, the membership of these journalists in the council, however they may think of themselves, is an acknowledgement of their active and important role in public affairs and of their ascension into the American ruling class. They do not merely analyze and interpret foreign policy in the United States. They help make it. This group of unaccountable, unelected, professional propagandists in America don't analyze anything. They make it. While only 5% of the people, members of the CFR work within the media, they all need to implement what these other members include. Now, several of U.S. presidents and vice presidents of both parties have been CFR members. Almost all foreign defense and finance ministers, many in Donald Trump's party, more than Barack Obama, I mentioned that earlier, most chiefs of staff and commanders of the U.S. military and NATO, nearly all national security advisors, CIA directors, UN ambassadors, Fed chairman, World Bank president, and directors of the National Economic Council are all members of the Council on Foreign Relations. Some of the most influential members of Congress, especially these ones that are involved with dual passports and that are Zionists, numerous media managers and top journalists, as well as some of the most famous actors, numerous prominent academics, especially in the areas of economics, international relations, political and historical sciences, and numerous executives from think tanks, universities, non-government organizations in Wall Street, and key members of the 9/11 Commission, here we go, and the Warren Commission were all part of the CFR. Now, Trump has put a bunch of these guys in. Here are just a few of them. Ellen Chao, United States Treasury Secretary of Transportation, CFR member. Jamie Dimon, who's a scumbucket, by the way, member of Strategic and Policy Forum, CFR member. Jim Donovan, the Deputy Treasury Secretary, CFR member. Larry Fink, the member of Strategic and Policy Forum, CFR member. Neil Gorsuch, Supreme Court Justice, here we go, CFR member. Vice Admiral Robert S. Harwood, National Surge Security Advisor. His appointment was declined. He's a CFR corporate member. Guys, this is a big mess that we've got, and we've got to understand. This Rothschild tentacle, I believe, has had that meeting with Trump. They've had the little sit-down chit-chat with him, and they said, look, guy, by the way, we're going to let you do a lot of what you want to do. We're going to let you be the president. We're going to allow you to think that you're in control. But here's the deal. We're going to tip the axis of the planet any which way we want to do it. And in order to facilitate that, you're going to put all of these CFR members into political office and into your administration. Guys, we have to stay frosty. A lot of people now who are in alternative news, all they want to talk about is how great the stock market is doing, how low unemployment is doing, and all of the above. Okay? They don't want to talk about what's really going on behind the scenes. This is what they do to us. They lull us into a sense of false security, and then snap, they pop us with something, and they do something crazy. Another false flag, another 9/11, a missile dropping on Hawaii, a missile dropping on Japan. This is how these guys work. This is basically Tavistock programming on steroids, which all came out of the same group of CFR people out of England, out of the Naval Office of Naval Intelligence. This is how they do this. They do this with shock doctrine. That's the term that they call it. Shock doctrine. When they blow up the trade towers, the American population is so shocked in their psyche that they're willing to accept the Patriot Act. They're so shocked that they're willing to have to go through scanners and x-ray machines in airports. They're so shocked that this happened, they could do anything. That's why one of their comments was, you never allow a crisis to go to waste. You always want to implement policy changes during and immediately after the crisis while the shock doctrine is still in effect. We get attacked from a false flag from Pearl Harbor that we precipitated. Shock doctrine, we're declaring war on Japan. Though we forced it and caused it, we're now in this war. The same thing after the international banking cartel and the Zionists in 1916, 17, and 18 turned against Germany and started promoting in their media how bad the German people were, suddenly Woodrow Wilson brings us into World War I. This is how they do this. So don't allow yourself to chill out and not pay attention to what's going on. All of this stuff is control. There's a reason that Jared Kushner is Trump's top guy, and he's a member of Shabbat, which is a Zionist cult that wants Israel to run the planet. There's a reason that they practice Kabbalah and the Zohar in that cult, that they worship fallen angels in that cult with all of this weird stuff they're involved in, and he's Trump's right-hand guys. There's a reason that Bannon was the last nationalist on the staff with Trump, and now he's been taken out. All of this stuff is being done to manipulate us and to massage us before they drop another bomb, shock doctrine on us and do something big. So stay frosty, stay prepared, and remember, these people from the CFR, they are not being placed into politics and into the Trump administration by accident, guys. They are being chosen. What do you think, Austin?
You're absolutely right, man. This is exactly what we see happening right now. And whether or not this memo, these FISA memos that are being released, are they either obfuscation that they're trying to basically keep us from looking at what's really going on, or is this something that they're going to try to not allow to get exposed? Because from now, pretty much what I've read, on Monday, the House Intelligence Committee voted to release declassified memos circulating in Congress that essentially shows and reveals the government surveillance abuse. The problem is, this is nothing new. Now, and this is something that obviously needs to be released, but I don't know how much more we have to have in the American public's eyes for them to realize what's really going on. That's why I went off on that big rant about the Waco siege, the massacre essentially is what it was, last week, because, you know, how much do we have to see of our own government massacring innocent civilians without any type of cause, and they skate on it every time. There's nobody goes to jail, nobody basically gets demoted, nobody even gets a slap on the wrist. These are what these guys have done for decades and decades now. And I mean, you see, as Dad just said, with the shock doctrine, we had Waco, we had Rube Ruby Ridge, and then boom, right. They had to have Oklahoma City bombing. They had to have something to pull the narrative out and prevent
That's
everybody
right.
from going
That's
to
right.
a full-blown militia state. That's where it was headed back in the 90s. At the same time, Clinton was sitting there running guns, running cocaine, running all this stuff through MENA,
That's
Arkansas,
right.
through the CIA, and again, they wanted to make sure that stuff didn't go anywhere. So this is something that has been going on for a long time. This whole memo that's coming out, I think there's a lot of stuff in it that needs to be seen. However, I think almost partially now it's being used as obfuscation of what's really, really going on behind the scenes. I mean, for instance, yesterday, and this is sad because I really was hoping this was going to get a lot of publicity, and it was actually going to go through the Senate, but the Senate voted 51-64 in favor of the 20-week abortion ban yesterday. However, it was short of the 60 votes it was required to proceed to a final vote. So it got completely dropped on the floor. The 44 Democrats and 2 Republicans who blocked the legislation ensured that the U.S. essentially will retain its spot in allowing abortions past the 20 weeks of age. The sad part about this, guys, because when I looked this up today, there are only seven countries in the entire world that legally allow abortions after the 20-week mark, which the 20-week mark is essentially what scientists have marked as the point where there is no question about it. The unborn baby can feel significant pain at that point. I personally think it's before that. However, this is the study that they have found past the 20-week mark. So us, in only us and 6 other countries, China, which they already have insanely weird baby policies over there, North Korea, they're already weird as well, Vietnam, Canada, which is just another fiefdom of the UK and the Rothschild and everything else over in England, and the Netherlands and Singapore. That's it. No other countries on the planet allow abortions past 20 weeks, period. Yet the United States still continues to do this. We have to start asking why these policies continue to go through, why we're trying to push DACA amnesty and allow hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people that are here to have full amnesty and citizenship, and at the same time require every single American citizen in the country that wants to hold a job that they require them to have a U.S. federal government mandated ID biometric card in this new DACA bill that they're trying to push through. I went into detail in it yesterday if you guys want to listen to it again. And so this is the stuff that's going on. There's always something they put out in front of us that they try to get your attention with, and then there's 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or a dozen other things behind the scenes that they try to make happen without anybody else knowing what's going on. So you're exactly right, Dad. For instance, yesterday, this is something that came out from CNN as they tried to twist this onto Canada again. Apparently, a Russian military jet flew in front of a Navy P-3 Orion surveillance plane as it was over the Black Sea, and of course they completely spun this to be an act of aggression from Russia. They said that the American pilots reported that the Russian jet came within 5 feet of the U.S. plane. 5 feet. What are these guys, Top Gun? Were they doing an inverted loop over them right now? Over just looking at them like in top 5 feet? Arms distance away, this fighter jet came in front of them? That's complete and total garbage. But again, this is what they're trying to say. They went out there on the official narrative. They said it crossed in front of the U.S. plane from right to left and intentionally engaged its afterburners, forcing the P-8 to enter into a jet wash, an action that caused the U.S. plane to experience violent turbulence, according to Lieutenant Colonel Michelle Bandez, a spokesperson for the Pentagon. And so, again, they're saying over here that basically Russia's committing an act of aggression towards U.S. planes over the Black Sea, blah, 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 rhetoric, propaganda, never ends. And did the Russian jet do this? He probably did. Did he come within 5 feet of it? I highly doubt that. 5 feet for an aircraft miss is near impossible. You're pretty much going to have some type of collision at that point within an arm's reach of distance from a plane. But again, this is the narrative that CNN's trying to spin now. Russia's the bad guy again. Russia's the aggressor. Russia's trying to engage in a hostile conflict with a surveillance plane that's doing nothing but a drill over the Black Sea, which you already know that's garbage. It was probably a CIA black op plane that was flying more heroin out of Afghanistan Afghanistan, and these guys of Russia probably saw them take off. They said, you know what? We're just going to hack these guys off. We know what they're doing with these black ops. We know what the CIA's running. We're just going to give them a little scare and make sure we know and they know that we know what they're doing. And they went ahead and did that. That's just my narrative. Can I prove that? Absolutely not. Total speculation. But that's, in my opinion, what I think is more likely the situation than Russia just being negligent with a fighter jet and putting a P-8 surveillance plane and they're basically jet wash. Come on, guys. Look at what else is going on. Look how much we're constantly trying to start a war with Russia. Look how all these EU countries are issuing basically notices to their citizens that we're about to go to war with Russia. All this stuff is leading to another endgame, which is what the globalists and the Rothschilds do every single time an incident occurs and they can't control the entire narrative. Bam, they take us to a world war every single time without fail. And if it's not a world war, it's a massive regional war, as we've done in the Middle East. It's been a perpetual state of war pretty much since the 90s, honestly. And then we just used 9/11 as a pretext to invade Iraq and put a Federal Reserve Bank in there. But then, now I'm just going off and off. But yeah, that's exactly what's going on right now. You pretty much nailed it with all that.
Well, you know what's funny, Austin? I've flown a lot of planes. And what's interesting about this is, you know, you create a vacuum, a slipstream with an aircraft. It's like you do, you know how when you're driving down the, you know how you stand on the side of the road every once in a while and you don't want to be there on the interstate and all of a sudden a semi-truck will come by and all of a sudden, woof, it goes by and all of a sudden you all this wind and you feel like you're getting sucked under the truck. The reason that happens is because it creates what's called the slipstream. And what that means is creating a vacuum directly behind it, and the vacuum is getting filled because this air is going by so quickly. It creates a slipstream. Airplanes do the same thing. They create slipstreams. That's one of the reasons it was so difficult to break the sound barrier, because of slipstreams. They had to have the proper wing design. Now, what's funny about this, if you have an airplane that's 5 feet away from you and you cross in front of the plane, number one, that implies that the plane was going perpendicular to the other plane, which is absolutely ridiculous, or it could have been at an angle. But either way, it creates a massive slipstream, which if that plane sat there for any length of time, they would pull together like a vacuum. Now, the problem with all that is, if it really did a slipstream and they pulled in front of it like that and turned on its afterburners, they're only going to be in that slipstream or that jet wash for a few seconds. Now, this is what's also stupid about this, but the mainstream narrative for the population of the planet is that, oh, my God, Russia's the aggressor and Russia's doing this. This is complete nonsense. Now, let's go back for 1 second. You also talked about this thing with this 20-week abortion stuff. Now, remember, abortion in the United States is a sacrificial satanic ritual, especially when these children are old enough to be viable outside of the womb. In other words, these are being done as sacrifices to unseen entities in order to control the narrative and the energy field around the planet. I've talked about this many, many, many times. Now, what's also interesting about this is that this abortion restriction, only a few countries like this in the world, where one of these countries allow this, it's because we're completely taken over by these Sabbatean Kabbalists, and we've turned into a satanic state at the hierarchy. Now, we as Christians who are living here, we're not like that. We don't put up with any of that nonsense. But guys, remember, there's another factor also to the abortion, and it has to deal with the eugenics problem, which is a real problem that got started back in the 1800s because of Darwin, as far as wanting to get rid of inferior species. And this is the thing that they did when they started Planned Parenthood, is they wanted to kill black people. Now, you think, well, if you're black and you're listening to the show, I'm not being prejudiced. I think it's awful what they've done. But this is what they wanted to do. It was started by the Democratic Party, and they wanted to kill black people. They even said, let's get a hold of the black pastors and promote abortion through all of this, and so we can reduce the population of blacks. The vast majority of the population in the United States that has been aborted have been black children, period, out of the 60 million people that have been murdered. Now, what's interesting about this is the black folks in the United States vote primarily Democrat, where these same Democratic leaders are the ones that have basically done eugenics on the entire population of black people in the United States, with probably 35, 40 million abortions on blacks alone. So we have to understand that the abortion is a sacrificial ritual. These guys are Sabbatean Kabbalists. They're numerologists. They're what we call wizards in real world. I mean, like, they're like a Harry Potter real world wizard. They do things with astrological signs. They do things with symbology. They do things when the stars are in alignment and specific dates. They're all about the numbers because they have a particular order of what they do to control people, and they know that when a certain star is in a certain cluster or whatever, that what they do will be magnified as far as in the energy field around the planet. So they choose very specific dates to do this. Years ago, when I was I was guest hosting the Power Hour with Joyce Riley, may she rest in peace, what ended up happening is I interviewed a guy who was a wizard. The guy's a wizard. And he was basically he did all this weird stuff. And he was extremely bright. He's an incredible genius. And I was interviewing him, and finally I asked him, I said, so what you're telling me is that you're a Sabbatean Kabbalist, that you're a numerologist. He goes, yes, that's correct. And I said, so that means that you're a wizard. And he goes, yes, I am. Straight admitted to it on the show. Needless to say, he will not be interviewed on this show. It's not going to happen. But the thing about this is, though, these people are real. And they do things on astrological calendars. That's like 9/11. That's like, all the stuff that happens has specific reasoning why they choose certain dates. And if you read the book, the most dangerous book in the world, 9/11 as a Mass Ritual by S.K. Bain, I've got it laying on my desk here in front of me, it will really make you understand what they're all about with their numbers and their numerology and the Twin Towers and the number 11. See, the Twin Towers represented number 11, which is an occult number. And so this Twin Tower was 1 and 1, number 1, 11. It also has to deal with different altars of sacrifice. All of this stuff they take into consideration when they start making these decisions. So guys, Austin's exactly right. This thing with abortion missed the Senate floor. Why? We've got too many dual citizenship Zionists in the Senate, and that's exactly what this is. These guys are not born-again Christians, guys. These guys are straight Luciferians, some of them. They're straight Luciferians. That's why I said the law should be that no one can be a dual citizenship and serve in leadership in Congress in the United States or in the Senate. You shouldn't be allowed to do that. That needs to be a law that Trump needs to put into an executive order to stop this nonsense. Because it's not okay to do that. Now, of course, you probably have to have a constitutional amendment to get that done. By the way, one more article here before I let Austin jump back in. There are 6 traders now who were just arrested for manipulating the gold market. This is from Zero Hedge. On Monday morning, we reported that a number of traders currently or formerly employed by UBS, HSBC, and Deutsche Bank, and as usual, no JP Morgan banks were touched, would be perp walked and charged in an unprecedented cross-agency crackdown, basically seeking to punish the spoofers of futures. In other words, all these guys that are continuing to sell naked shorts. This was confirmed moments ago by the CFTC press release, which announced criminal and civil enforcement actions against these 3 banks and 6 individuals involved in commodities fraud and spoofing schemes. Deutsche Bank's already going to be paid a $30 million penalty. Now, whether Trump basically gives these guys a pass on this or whatever, I don't know. But guys, this is the reason, and I'm going to say this again, that the gold right now is not at $5,000 an ounce because of the incredibly huge increase in the M1 money supply. And silver's not at $200 an ounce. There's a reason for that. It's because of naked shorts on the COMEX. In other words, what they do every day, you'll see the gold will spike up, and somebody will throw 1 million ounces of gold, and they'll do a naked short. So there is no bottom. They're going to sell it no matter what the price is. And they basically complete the contract in fiat currency and not in gold. And so they constantly hold the prices down. It's complete and total manipulation of the gold and silver markets. Why are they doing that? Number one, we've had massive inflation since 2000 in the United States. We've had probably a 600-700% increase in the M1 money supply. If not, probably more than that. Probably thousands of percent increase in the actual dollars in circulation. Remember, when 2007 hit, the actual M1 that was on the books was under $1 trillion. In other words, it was under $1 trillion in circulation in the world, in the entire world. That's what caused all of this stuff to start collapsing, because they couldn't pay the bills on all of the gambling that they did with all of the derivative contracts, and that's why the giant insurance company AIG was going under, because they couldn't pay the bills for the insurance that they were taking out on these derivative contracts. That's why we had to put this $800 trillion with Paulson into the money supply immediately, or all of this would have defaulted. Now we're not like that anymore. Now we're in the derivatives into the quadrillions of dollars. That's thousands of trillions. Now, we've got a major, major mess here with the M1 money supply, the amount of money in circulation, and that's why we're having all of this stock market stuff go up, because they're using all of that money that they basically printed out of nothing and created out of nothing to buy back their own stocks and to buy up the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ. Why? Because they want to control the entire industrial capability of the United States when they pull the rug out from underneath this thing like they did in 1929 and they contract the M1. That's what this is all about. This is about controlling it at both ends so they will take everything from the American population. Now I'm talking about the international Zionist banking community that is continuing to defraud the American population through the Federal Reserve System. That's who these guys are. That's what they continue to do. So be frosty. Watch yourself. The Dow is down over 300 points today. Be really careful right now if you're still in the equities market. Personally, I pulled out of all that stuff. I don't want to be involved with that legalized gambling anymore and all of that massive manipulation and all that. Guys, be careful. That's all I can say. Austin, what do you think?
You're exactly right with the speculation market, man. It should never have been legalized back in the 20s as far as guys getting involved with that type of stuff. And my thing is, if they're actually going to have it, in my opinion, to stop all this crap, if you're going to be speculating on products, you have to take physical delivery of those products that you're speculating on. That would stop 99% of this garbage right now, especially when the commodities, the silver, the gold, all the research I've done over the years, especially with the use of silver and its industrial usage with phones, computers, microwaves, all this stuff right now, silver should be anywhere between $100 to $200 an ounce all day long on the market, and gold should be anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 an ounce, period. That's it. There is no other numbers right now that we're seeing that are anywhere near realistic. I told you guys this, and I've said it so many times, I'll say it again. The physical cost on silver to mine it right now from the actual miners is around $15 an ounce, what they actually have invested per ounce to have a pure ounce of 999 silver come out of the ground and be ready to sell. It's about $15 when it's all said and done. So when you see them push the paper market down to $14, $15 an ounce, nobody's selling physical metal for that. You're not going to go buy a Silver Eagle at Atmex for $15 an ounce. They won't do it. The only thing that does is it in all you see, I've seen it so many times, you'll see the basically the add-on amount that they put on there, the premiums. So if it's $18-$19 an ounce for silver and they short it and it goes down to $15 an ounce, the premiums just get taller. You don't get the physical silver for any cheaper. That's when you know the entire market is completely and totally rigged. You can't go out and buy silver for $15 an ounce that's actually pure, unless you're buying melt weight and you're ripping somebody off on a pawn shop, but that's a completely different story. I'm talking about true, pure, new purchase metals. This is what they continue to do because, in my opinion and a lot of other people's opinion, we already know pretty much that Fort Knox is empty. There's no gold over there. The massive amount of gold wealth and physical metal wealth has been shifted to a key few people that completely run the country, i.e., in my opinion, the Rothschilds and whoever their subsidiaries are. They own almost all the metal in physical amounts. So once the game actually comes to, once people actually realize that when they go in and they call in 100 ounces of gold or 1,000 ounces of gold or 10,000 ounces of gold on their paper note and they say, no, I don't want to settle this in fiat currency. I don't want dollars for this. I want physically 10,000 ounces of gold. You've already guaranteed me that you possess 10,000 ounces of gold on this paper, on this note. I want physical possession of it, and you have to deliver it to me. As soon as you start having a few big boys in the market do that and they want their physical gold, and the guys that basically they've issued the paper, they go, we don't have 10,000 ounces of gold. In fact, we actually don't have any gold. We've been lying, actually. We don't have anything. Now we got to scrounge up. We got to start calling banks. We got to start calling reserve banks. We got to start calling metal companies like Atmex and trying to figure out where we can get the metal from so they can actually make good on their delivery. It will literally skyrocket the prices of metal overnight. The problem is with the speculation that they're doing and the naked shorts, as Dad was just talking about, they have the ability to get away with all this without actually pushing the metal prices up to where they truly are with the level of inflation and everything we've had in this economy over the last 30 to 40 years.
I have read multiple articles of people that have tried to buy, you know, they're like investment firms that have tried to buy $50, $70, $100 million worth of gold at once. And they can't get it. And if they do get it, it's going to have massive hundreds and hundreds of dollars of premiums per ounce because they can't fulfill the contracts. And so they don't allow you to do that. They just simply say, no, how about no? That's why they want everything in paper. Well, I own $1 million in gold in paper. What the heck do you own? You own a piece of paper that says $1 million on it. You don't own anything. It's like Steve Quayle says, my buddy Steve goes, if you can't hold it and touch it and feel the doggone gold, you don't own the gold. Somebody else owns it.
Yep.
And it's not in your possession. So guys, it's so important that you understand that if you're going to be having somebody hold your gold or hold your metals for you, that you know them, you've got a good relationship with them, and you trust them. Very, very important.
Yep.
By the way, let's shift to a nutrition product. Nutrition comment real quick. I'm going to talk about the dangers of genetically modified insulin for type 2 diabetics. I've not covered this on the show before because this is a huge problem, because a lot of people who are type 1 diabetics who are taking insulin don't really think about the GMO insulin, or they're not thinking about type 2 diabetics that get started on insulin. A growing body of evidence concerning research indicates that conventional medicine standard care of type 2 diabetes, including synthetic insulin and oral anti-diabetic drugs like metformin, may actually increase mortality or death. On the other hand, recently validated traditional approaches relying on plant-based medicines may greatly mitigate the global diabetes epidemic. Now, what's interesting about this is what they're saying is this. If you start taking insulin when you're type 2 diabetic, which in most cases you don't have to, you increase the rate of death. But listen to this. It gets more twisted, this, for type 1s and type 2s. It says glucose lowering with insulin in type 2 diabetes, which is GMO, actually increases the overall death and cardiovascular and other events the literature is showing, especially massive increases in heart disease. However, contrary to popular notions about life-saving value of synthetic genetically engineered insulin for type 2 diabetics, now they're basically telling us that when you take genetically modified insulin and you're a type 2 diabetic, you destroy your pancreas and your islands of Langerhans, and you literally become a type 1 diabetic, and that diet will no longer correct the problem because you have blown out your pancreas. Now, you heard me say that right. I'm saying this in a very clear way because this article I'm reading gets really technical and I'm not trying to do it. But it says that GMO insulin actually accelerates the demise of type 2 diabetes from all of these different types of diseases, and also increases the risks of coming down with type 1 diabetes, which you're no longer producing insulin whatsoever. Now, there's some natural substances that could help type 1 diabetics. Let me cover these with you real quickly because I know I have a lot of type 1 diabetics listening, and I don't know of a way to correct type 1 diabetes. It won't work through diet. When I had the clinic set up and we had 40 patients a day coming through, we had many, many type 1 diabetics come in and say, can you help me to regulate my insulin? Can you help me to stabilize the amount of blood sugar or whatever, how much blood sugar is? Yes, we could do that, but we can never get away completely from the insulin. Now, several things. Arginine, this is in our HGH stimulate. I believe arginine is in our HGH stimulate. Isn't it awesome?
Oh, yeah, L-arginine. That's one of our main ingredients in that.
Yeah, yeah. A 2007 study found that the amino acid L-arginine is capable of stimulating the genesis or the regrowth of beta cells in type 1 diabetics. Avocado seed extract has basically reduced blood sugar in diabetic rats. Then we also have corn silk, curcumin, which is turmeric. Now, turmeric does great, by the way, for adult onset diabetics and for those who are pre-adult onset diabetes. Very, very important. Also, the black seed oil has been shown to lead to partial regeneration and proliferation of beta cells. A 2010 human study also found that the consumption of 1 gram of black seed a day for up to 12 weeks had a broad range of beneficial effects in diabetics, including increasing beta cell function. Now, I'm not saying we're curing anything here. I'm just telling you what the article says. And, of course, it says that stevia has an anti-diabetic property, including revitalizing damaged beta cells, and compares favorably with the drug glibabinosalamide, but without any adverse effects. So, guys, there's all kinds of natural things that you can do to stabilize your blood sugar. In fact, we have a really good protocol. It's called the Hagman Healthy Blood Sugar Protocol, and it's on our website. Try that and do it consistently and make the dietary changes that you need and start exercising on a regular basis, and you'll be amazed at how easy it is to help control blood sugar without the use of drugs in most cases. I'm not claiming any cures or anything, but I'm saying to have healthy blood sugar, Austin. What do you think?
You're exactly right. I mean, I just had a customer come in today and order another bottle of our cinnamon extract. And that's pretty much what he started off on, is the full kit, you know, the healthy blood sugar protocol that we built for Hagman that's on our website at healthmasters.com. And so what he did was he really changed his diet. He was running the whole protocol. And after he was on it for about 6-7 months, he found, you know, he could tweak his diet and his supplement intake and start lowering some stuff down. And now he's got his blood sugar completely under control, and he pretty much just keeps it under maintenance with the cinnamon extract and a healthy diet. So he takes like 1 to 2 cinnamon extracts with each main meal, and that's really all he has to do now. He's got his pancreas really strong again. He's been doing the fresh squeezed lemon juice with the distilled water. He's been taking the supplements now for over the year. And so now he's been able to slowly dial it back down. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. Everybody's different in every case, but in most cases, if you can actually change your diet and get everything under control before it gets completely out of control, it's much, much easier to fix. No questions asked about it. So also, too, there's another article I just saw earlier. A lot of people are always asking about companies. You know, I like Chipotle's. Some people say Chipotle's is anti-gun. All the Chipotle's here in Polk County that I've been to, I've actually asked some of the managers there if what their policy is on concealed carry and whatnot, and most of them don't even know. They don't even care. We live in Polk County, Florida, so to them it's kind of like, yeah, if you have a gun, you're concealed carry, carry it in here. We could care less. That being said, another company now is completely changing their menu, and that's Panera Bread. They've been fairly clean for quite some time now, but now they're doing everything they can. They're pretty much, they've removed all aspartame out of their products, no artificial colors, no artificial flavors, no MSG. They're trying to phase out any preservatives and GMOs now. They've also, too, switched over to real, true, whole eggs. They said that a lot of companies that came brought this to light. The majority of companies, actually, we know this, but a lot of people don't. The company claimed that 50% of the top 5 casual restaurants that sell breakfasts have an egg made of at least 5 ingredients. And they're essentially what they are is they're like a hockey puck that's frozen, and they drop it out, and it basically makes the egg. It's not even really a true, real egg. So Panera Bread's guaranteeing that they're using whole eggs and stuff like that. So that's just another side note of people that are looking at restaurants that are trying to have a cleaner ingredient base if you're wanting to go out and eat and not eat a bunch of garbage. Of course, the standard companies like PepsiCo and Taco Bell and the Illuminati satanic sadistic companies like those, you really kind of want to stay away from them, in my opinion, just because they use pretty much every single raunchy, nasty preservative ingredient under the sun, and it's not something you want to put in your body. So Panera Bread's stepping it up now, so I thought that was pretty interesting.
Good, good, good. In fact, I had their black bean soup the other night when I was in Tallahassee, and it was really good. I mean, it was really good. I mean, I asked them, I said, you guys have any MSG in this? Nope, nope, all clean. I'm like, okay, good, I'll try some, because it was a pretty clean thing on the menu, because I'm not sure if they're not serving organic bread, then chances are it's still going to have glyphosate residue in it, because it needs to be organic not to have that. So I think it's really, really important. So, okay, by the way, now a new study has come out, and it says that if you shield yourself from electromagnetic radiation, you reduce the risk and the severity of autoimmune diseases. Now, let me talk about that a little bit. We're talking about rheumatoid arthritis, systemic lupus. We're talking about type 1 diabetes. We're talking about Hashimoto's, psoriasis, you know, celiac disease, and a plethora of other ones that are all linked into this autoimmune disease. Guys, again, I don't know how to stress to you how important it is that you don't carry a phone that's turned on in your pocket unless you're shielding it. I mean, you wrap it up in aluminum foil if you want, but just make sure you do something not to have it next to your person and touching your body. I can't tell you what it does to sperm count and all the other things. And plus, I've got a friend of mine who died a few years ago. He died of leg cancer. He had a cancer on his leg. It spread and basically ended up dying. And if you'd have called me up, I'd have sent him to a few doctors that do alternative treatment protocols. But guys, it's one of those things. If you're holding your iPad on your lap and you're irradiating your private parts or your leg or your telephone or whatever, guys, think through what you're doing and all the exposure that you're getting to this electromagnetic field that's so dangerous for your cell walls and structures. And now they're saying that autoimmune diseases can be helped by shielding yourself from this stuff. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, it goes exactly with that little ninth grade science experiment I talked about last week, where they had two sets of seeds completely in the same, as far as elements, same temperature, everything, except one set of seeds had two Wi-Fi routers beside it. The other set of seeds did not, in the completely opposite room. After 12 days, the one seeds with no Wi-Fis were blossoming. They were green. They were vibrant. The ones that were beside the Wi-Fi router were all mutated and dead, fallen over, completely just, I mean, crashed, just done. And, yeah, everybody's got to understand this, that, I mean, it's hard to get away from it now all the time. You know, with every place you go has Wi-Fi with the phones. There's no question about it. But you have to start being proactive with this stuff, because this is going to be one of those things, in my opinion, that's going to catch a lot of people by surprise in the next 10, 15, 20 years when we start seeing really true long-term significant side effects from this, especially from the younger generation. And this is what you really have to watch out for, are the younger kids that are still growing and their body's still, you know, utilizing nutrients. It's still getting taller. It's still developing. And it's just being constantly bombarded with this radiation on a regular basis. You got to think about it. Us right now, even my generation, you know, we didn't even have a regular computer, like modem-style computer, I think, until I was 13, something like that. And then you have cell phones back then. You know, I got a cell phone. I was, I think, 17, 18 years old, and half the time I didn't have it with me because I didn't care about it. You know, and that was the maximum exposure. We didn't have Wi-Fi and stuff like that. You guys already know, if you wanted internet, you had to plug into the wall and telephone. Well, now we got kids that are going into first grade that have their own cell phones now, 5, 6 years old. Or how about the kids when you go to restaurants and they're 2 years of age and they got an iPad sitting in their lap playing on games the entire time because they can't even focus long enough to eat breakfast for 30 minutes without being constantly fixated with a digital device. We're going to see this generation literally who is going to be grown from pretty much womb till death with Wi-Fi completely engulfing their bodies throughout their entire life, and I don't predict it's going to be very healthy at all. So you've got to be very careful about it with the young kids. As I've said so many times, keep the cell phone away from you. Even if you have it in your car, you know, at least keep it off your person. If you look at the radiation as far as the intensity of it, when you have it right against your body, it's insane, the level of it. When you just take it like 6 inches away from your body, it drops in like half. When you take it like a foot away from your body, it drops another half. When you take it like 2 or 3 feet away from your body with a cell phone, it's much more minimal. So that's why you don't want to keep your cell phones right beside your bed. If you have to keep them in the same room, I say this, and this is what I have done before when I've stayed at hotels and stuff like this, is put your cell phone on the other side of the refrigerator or a metal device and have the ringer on. So if it rings in an emergency and you need it, you can still hear it, but it's on the other side of the room behind a refrigerator or behind some type of metal device that's going to significantly block a lot of it from coming over to you while you sleep. And, of course, if you have Wi-Fi routers and stuff at your house, turn those off. The TVs, the Wi-Fi, all that stuff needs to be unplugged from the wall all the time when you're not using it. So, yeah, that it's very, very important to shield yourself from this as much as you can, especially now we got 5G rolling out and we don't even know what's going to come along with this basket of snakes when this stuff starts getting implemented, when we see states now mandated that it can come in now and they don't even have to notify the citizens of the cities anymore. I think it was in South Carolina or North Carolina where they passed this, that 5G networks could come in now and put antennas up all over the city and they didn't even have a say. County, city, nothing. Didn't even have any say on it. These guys can come in and put full 5G access all over the city. That tells me that there's something much more sinister behind this with 5G, because quite frankly, 4G already works just fine. You already have stupid fast internet everywhere you go now with 4G. That's one question nobody can answer me. Why do we need 5G from a legitimate true purpose? 4G super fast. If you go anywhere now, you pretty much have internet service everywhere you want with 4G. Why do we need 5G now to make it even more fast? Because, golly, we can't wait the 2 to 3 seconds to upload a page anymore. That's just way too time-consuming. It needs to be nanoseconds now. Every page pops up as fast as physically possible. It's nonsense, guys. 5G has so much more stuff behind it that nobody's wanting to address. We've talked about it in detail, Dad, so many times on the show.
We talked about it yesterday. If you missed yesterday's show, I go into the entire nefarium of what's going on. I talk about it all yesterday. I talk about fallen angels. I talk about the HARC program. I talk about chemtrails. I go into detail on 5G and how they're tagging you with nanobots and how all the stuff and how they're going to read write you and all the other things and how you'll be. You go, listen to the show. I'm not going to start. If I get cranked up on that again, I'm going to start all over again. I don't have time. By the way, listen to yesterday's show. It's one of those. By the way, the FBI has just released documents now claiming that Russia Today founder, who died a few years ago, that he beat himself to death in his own hotel room. Now, I mean, you know, you can't even make this stuff up anymore, okay? This is from the Free Thought Project. In November 22, 2015, Mikhail Lezin was found dead in his hotel room where he was staying in Washington, D.C. Now, remember, these Sabbateans hate him because of what he's done and how he's exposed them and much of the stuff they've been involved in. In spite of the original cause of death noted as a heart attack, a few months later, the D.C. Office of the Chief Medical Examiner and Metropolitan Police Department said that blunt force injuries of the neck, torso, upper extremities, and lower extremities also contributed to his death. In other words, it caused him to have a heart attack. He was beat to death and his heart stopped. The Office of the Chief Medical Examiner has released the cause and manner of death for Michael Lissen, and the cause of death is blunt force injuries of the head, statement said. Now FBI investigators have released the results of their investigation, claiming that the blunt force trauma all over his body was self-inflicted. Mr. Lezin died as a result, quote, of injuries to his head, with contributing causes being blunt force injuries of the neck, torso, upper extremities, and lower extremities, which were induced by falls with acute ethanol intoxication. In other words, he was drunk, the report states. In other words, the FBI says this guy got drunk and started slamming himself into the furniture to his throat, his neck, and his head, and basically violently fell on things until he killed himself. You know, do they really think that everybody is this stupid that we believed any of this? Guys, he was killed because he was reporting news that wasn't in line with the mainstream Rothschild-controlled media, the Zionist-controlled narrative, and that's why they took him out. They had to talk with him. He didn't want to listen. They beat him. He didn't want to listen. They killed him, and they said he beat himself to death. How incredibly stupid are these people to even release a report like this? Austin, what do you think?
It's a joke. I think there was one too a while back ago, very similar individual that was basically total anti, you know, New World Order, all this stuff. And I think he killed himself with a nail gun. He shot himself in the back of the head with his own nail gun like 6 times in the back of his head. Totally plausible, obviously. That's how people normally kill themselves. They shoot themselves repeatedly in the back of the head. Makes total sense. This stuff, guys, when you hear it, I mean, what it was a hit gone wrong is what it was. That's flat out. You got to understand how this operates. When a lot of times when these guys are supposed to come in and pull a job off, it's supposed to be done in a very specific manner. It's supposed to look like an accident. And the problem is a lot of stuff doesn't always go as planned. Stuff escalates. People fight. People know martial arts more than they should. And stuff just escalates. And then all of a sudden they got to go, well, doggone it, we got to try and do cleanup now. We got to make this look like it was an accident. Then they come in and they do the report and they go, well, this wasn't an accident. Well, then they have to go back to the coroner and the agents that are handling it and go, listen, this was an accident. Don't ask us what happened. Just understand it was an accident. Release another statement that it was an accident. This is the stuff that happens now. And anytime you see something like this, it should be a very clear-cut indication that this was not an accident, obviously. Also, in other news, this is a kind of a funny article. I wanted to bring it up because it just shows you the lunacy of the liberal left. Governor Andrew Cuomo, total liberal communist out of New York, governor of New York, now has promised free college tuition to all Dreamers and has now launched a New York lawsuit against the Trump administration over its nationwide tax cuts because he is saying it hurts the state's fiscal health. I kid you not. He's suing the Trump administration because the Trump administration issued lower income tax guidelines, as you guys saw last month, which was great for the entire country, especially everybody that has to pay in the unconstitutional IRS laws. He tweeted, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut are now launching a coalition to sue the federal government to reverse the unjust tax laws. We will not stand idly by as the federal government attacks the fiscal health of our states. So in other words, what he's saying is our states want to keep raping our citizens to provide candy and benefits for illegals, but your tax cuts make us look bad in comparison now because we have to start funding it through other ways and raising taxes in other ways. New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut have the top three highest combined sales and personal income tax rates, according to TurboTax. They have held the top three since 2005. So it's hilarious how President Trump has forced them into the position of defending high taxes now. Cuomo's proposed New York budget, it includes money for the DREAM Act, which will include opening the doors of higher education to tens of thousands of undocumented students. The DREAM Act will give undocumented students full access to the new Excelsior Scholarship, the Tuition Assistance Program, as well as any other state-administered scholarships, and investment in young immigrants' future into the investment in New York's future. And they're mad now because the United States gets to pay lower taxes and not subsidize their complete and total communist fantasy that they live in up there, Dad. I thought that was a pretty funny article, actually, myself.
It's just, let's just sue everybody because we can't give free stuff away. I mean, I want to take your stuff at gunpoint because you don't want to give it to me. I mean, ridiculous. Guys, thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for being our friends. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us and your B vitamins and all the other stuff that we have that are so good, all of our good products. I love you guys. I appreciate you too. God bless you guys. I'll do the write-up, Austin. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. And again, thank you guys.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, fast show today. Went by quick as always. We appreciate all the support. Thank you for the emails you're continuing to send us. We're working on a really interesting product that we've been testing the last couple weeks now, really trying to get it dialed in, and I think we're going to be releasing it this Friday. We're going to be ordering a batch here shortly. Really good progress. Basically, it's going to help out as far as with mental focus. It doesn't have caffeine in it, so it's something we're kind of tweaking, and it's been a pretty cool formula. So stay tuned for that on Friday. We may release it this week or next week once we get it in stock. It's going to be pretty exciting, so be sure to check out the website for that. Also, too, product of the week, Regeneration. Current winner on sale, over 10% off. Be sure to vote on all the other products because they change first thing in the morning. Looks like B-Complex right now, our methylated bioavailable B vitamin formula, is at the top of the list, but a couple other ones are pretty close. So be sure to get on the website and vote for the products that you want to win. And also check out the kits. We always have those on sale. People ask all the time, you know, I'm trying to get these products together. I'm trying to get this product together and get a discount. In most cases, you can look on the Health Masters Healthy Kits on the front page or on the kit page. We have a lot of different protocols and kits that are already discounted. So be sure to check those out at healthmasters.com. If you guys need anything, give us a call. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night as always, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.